You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Hello, fit and proper listener. This is just a message from Reese, the co-host and main and best host of this podcast, to let you know that I have been on tour since January and the spring leg is complete, but I have extended my tour of my stand-up show Spilt Milk into the autumn. We start in August, which I appreciate is summer, at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival for 1 week at the Pleasance, and then I move on from September to go back all around the UK once again in your classics, your Manchesters, your Birminghams, your Sunderlands, your Peterboroughs, and then the smaller places, your Newburys, your Andovers, your Swindons, even going to Ireland, Belfast and Dublin. London dates to be announced. There's all sorts, all on my website, far more than I've said. Northampton, you know, all sorts. So do get on there. reesejames.co.uk. Get yourself some tickets. We're sure to have a fit and proper evening. I'll see you there. Welcome to Fit and Proper. I'm Reese James.
And I'm Lloyd Griffith.
Each week, we delve into the murky world of football club ownership. We're giving control to our famous guests to run their beloved club in their own way.
They can do whatever they like, from changing the manager to moving the stadium closer to their house, sacking the mascot to insisting all their players have blue dreadlocks.
But their decisions will be scrutinised heavily, just like a real owner. Firstly, by Lloyd and I, and then our supercomputer, which will analyse the data and decide if they are a fit and proper person to run a football club. Hello, Lloyd.
Hello, mate. You all right?
Yeah. I have, as you say it, like I just phoned you.
Well,
hello, mate. You all right? How are you getting on? What are you up to?
Every time I like start the podcast.
Yeah, we criticise each other's way we start the podcast constantly.
Is you criticising me? I'm going, oh,
no,
mate,
it's not. Right? It's not. Quite often, it happens both ways, Lloyd,
no,
okay?
No, to be fair. No, to be fair to you, absolutely, yeah.
So, Alex Horn's on the podcast today. Now, the last time that me, you and Alex all saw each other, and actually the only time that me, you and Alex saw each other,
really?
Was, we've talked about it on the podcast, in person this is, we've talked about it on the podcast before, is the time after England, Germany and the Euros when we went to Crouch's studio and then you got pissed and sang the anthem with Rob. It was Rob Beckett's bucket hat moment. It was the day of the bucket hat and the chicken.
Yes.
And then you got pissed. You sang the anthem with the horn section,
yeah,
to go out, and it obviously was unbroadcastable.
Yes. Our agent, Carly, got an email saying we could never, ever broadcast this because they're both absolutely leathered. And I think it goes against all... Is that Lou Reed being on Parkinson? Is that kind of like that level of leatheredness?
Still, you find a way to compare yourself to Lou Reed.
Right? There's never a day where I don't compare myself
You've
to Lou
Reed. You've basically gone, it's like one of the greats doing it on one of the biggest shows of all time.
Comparing me being shit-faced.
No, it was like a bloke in a pub who's lost his fucking mind and wife. That's what it was like.
Not too
dissimilar
like from the truth.
Anyway.
So Alex Horn, very, very funny man. Very funny,
very funny man. Very inventive man.
Very inventive man.
So high expectations for his ideas for how to sort of run a football club that he kind of already runs.
Well, I say already runs. He's on the board, so he'll be.
He's on the board.
He's on the board at Chesham United, where he is probably making decisions. Not all the decisions, but you know, I think I'd love to be on the board of a football club at one point, Bruce.
I would as well.
Based on the back of my comedy success, and I mean, I use the word success lightly.
I think the idea is that this podcast gets so big.
I think we should sponsor an under-9s team somewhere.
I'd like to distance myself from those comments.
Okay. So if you are a football team that are looking for sponsorship, me and Reese will sponsor your football team.
Yeah, Fit and Proper Podcast will sponsor the football team. If you you know, it needs to be quite a low cost.
Oh, absolutely. We're talking less than 300 quid.
It needs to be a pretty low cost. Let's be realistic. It could go up to 400.
We'll do
if
500.
Harry comes in as well. If Harry comes in as well, we're willing to do £150 each.
Okay. Look, 500 quid, but that is VAT inclusive. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Fine. Give us a shout, though, if you're a lower league or even if five-a-side team. Give us a shout. We'll do the sponsors with our logo. Do we have a logo? We'll get a logo.
We'll get a logo. And then basically, this is a good idea. I really like this.
Fit and Proper Podcast across football shows. This is great marketing. Why have we not thought to do this before? I can't wait.
One team and one team only. Okay. So if you are a football team that are looking, get involved. But let's speak to a man who is actually involved in an actual football club. This is Fit and Proper's episode of Alex Horn's episode.
This is Alex Horn. Thank you. On Fit and Proper Podcast.
Thank you. That's better. Today on Fit and Proper, we have a comedian, a band leader, an actor, a writer, a presenter, a master of tasks.
Lloyd spends ages writing these in advance.
Yeah, you've got a lot of guests on today.
a football board member of a football club and friend. Please welcome...
Colleague.
teammate. Please welcome Alex Horn to the show. Alex. Right.
Thank you. Now, who does the welcoming?
It'll be all in post. It'll be all in post.
CGI.
Well, thank you for that, Lloyd. What a humbling introduction.
What do you mean by humbling? What does that word mean?
Maybe that's the wrong word. I meant, what a lovely introduction.
Yeah. This is the thing that I can't... I mean, Reese does have his... We take it in turns as to intro the guests, and Reese always has his and practices it and, you know...
You've got to rehearse. You've got to rehearse these things.
Whereas I just like to riff it and just think of it on the spot.
Yeah, no, you could tell. You could tell you were riffing it.
But we played football last week and you had to go to hospital afterwards. How is the finger?
The finger's fine. I didn't de-glove it. Can you see? There's still a little...
Ooh.
Yeah.
The doctor said sometimes the top skin area can just come right off.
Oh, crikey.
What happened? How did this happen?
Alex, do you want to tell the story? We were both there.
Yeah, well, it was my first touch of the ball, 3 minutes in, I think. Maisie Adams shot. Lloyd was in goal. He'd rushed out and was beaten by Maisie. I was the last defender, so I dived and saved it heroically. But weirdly, my finger popped open when it touched the ball, and I had to go to
hospital. Oh, my God. Good God.
And I got yellow card. Well, we had balloons instead of cards, so I got yellow balloon. She scored the penalty, took her top off. And
then she got a yellow card.
She got a yellow balloon as well.
Yellow balloon, sorry.
So you had you did a full, like, it wasn't, you weren't playing like rush keeper rules. You just decided to save it.
I thought
it'd
be funny and heroic. Yeah. And I think you've got to, you know, you've got, well, I don't know, in the first minute, maybe you shouldn't get to
yeah,
that.
It's like sort of Suarez. Famously did the same, but he did it towards the end of a game to earn his team a penalty shootout. They then won.
It worked. Yes.
It worked.
Was it the Ghanaians who got knocked out?
Yeah, I think
it was the Ghanaians, who hit the crossbar, I do believe.
Did your team go on to win, Alex?
Sort of. We lost.
Ah, nearly then. Really nearly then.
We never had the lead. Sorry, we started with a penalty shootout because that's the fun bit. So we were 5-3 down already when the whistle blew to start the game, and we never... I don't know, we got to within one goal, did we, at one point, Lloyd?
I think it was at one point it was 10-9, and I think it finished 9-11.
It did finish 9-11,
so 10-9. So this was a part of Alex Horn's comedy football match. Is that right? That was the name of it?
Yeah, I think so. Something like that, yeah.
And it was at Chesham United, where you are actually a board member.
Yeah, so I have... actually had a fit and proper test by the FA, which I didn't.
Wow.
So I was asked to be on the board last September, and I said, yes, that sounds fun, and then got sent through a lot of paperwork, including having to send my bank details off.
So you're like the guarantor of the football club, do you know what I mean? Like a mortgage.
Yeah, I think so, but I'm you know, there's a lot resting on this podcast, a lot resting on my wife not listening to this podcast.
How did it come about? Why... Do you live in the area? Is that... Well, obviously, we don't want to give you a postcode away, but...
Just a huge fan. No, I live in the north. I live in the... I do live in Chesham. I live I'd say 12 minutes walk from the stadium, and my kids all play for the youth system. And I used to go twice a season, then that built up. So I've been going every other home match, and now I have to go to every home match and quite a few of the away ones. So it's just
creeping involvement. Did your kids play for the youth system before you were on the board, or are they, as they say now, Nepo babies?
They are Nepo babies. They can barely walk. They are off, you know, no coordination.
Mm.
And they're very young. They're a couple of weeks. No, they played for the youth system for a long time, but that doesn't mean they're good, just to make that clear. Anyone in Cheshire, they have 42 youth teams.
What?
Yeah, it's a great youth system, but it's not a feeder thing. But I might talk about this later on, because
okay.
It should be.
Okay.
It should be.
Who do you support then? Who growing up, who did you support? Who are you rallying on?
I supported Liverpool because I was born in 1978.
Yeah. Like a lot of people.
Yes. So they last won the league in 89 before this time round. So I had a sort of 40-year gap. And my kids are all Liverpool and Chesham fans. So, yes. So, but I have been slightly falling out of love with Premier League football for a while, not just this season, but the whole money thing and everything about it. So the Chesham thing is a really nice way of staying in touch with football. And I properly support Chesham now. And we got to the playoffs this year and went as a fan. So it's brilliant. I feel like I know the players. They're from the local area. There's not a, you know, it's not who's got the most money wins.
Having played in that game last week, and you know, being a Grimsby Town fan, or you know, a smaller club, it felt Chesham was great. Being at Chesham, you know, I think it was the second time I played, but you got me along to play against the West Ham Vets. Is that
true?
Right?
Yes.
Where you scored, I think, the most spectacular own goal I've ever seen. It was the most beautiful diving header nestled into the bottom right hand corner.
It was the same end as Fingergate.
It was exactly the same end in same corner,
yeah.
It's haunted, that corner.
Yeah.
But it's really like, Chesham's lovely. I mean, very, very family orientated, like community led and stuff. So I think when you find a football club like that, you kind of want to give it more, because there's like a sense of belonging for that, you know, and you know the players, and you don't want to take the piss out of the players as much, because you're going, oh, well, I'm literally parked next to them. So it's going to be awkward when we leave.
Yes, and also non-league football, you can literally have a chat with the players during the game. You can shout to them and they'll shout back. And there's always a lot of, I hate the word, but there's a lot of banter with the opposing goalkeeper. But it's normally good-natured. They'll be teasing, but they will tease back. And it's just so fun. It's mainly just much more fun. And even the fact you don't have to sit in your chair the whole 90 minutes. You wander around, you can bring your dog, you can drink on the stands.
Is it standing,
Cheshire? It is standing. They've got about 200 seats for older people and disabled people. It's got really good disabled access, and also I can sit down because there's a director's area.
What's the director's area like? How fancy are we talking? I assume, you know, obviously it's not going to compare to the one at Liverpool.
Weirdly, it's exactly the same as Liverpool.
It's identical to Anfield, is it?
Heated seating.
They've modelled it exactly on Anfield. Ever since you came in.
No, the director's area is just some plastic seats, and I've never actually sat there because I'm too embarrassed, but you can go inside and have a cup of tea. But we'll talk about all this later on as well, because I've got plans.
Can I just ask? So you moved to the Chesham area, and what was the first game? Can you remember the first Chesham United game that you went to?
It's a very good question. I don't have a very good answer. I can tell you the first game I can remember was the FA Cup run in 20. I think. I'm looking at a picture of it here because we played Bristol Rovers in the fourth round and beat them. And we won the Giant Killers of the Year award. And the team went to Wembley and got that at halftime, which I think was 2014, I think, maybe 2015. They narrowly lost to Bradford 4-0 in the third round. I went to a few of the league games before that and built up a bit of a momentum and a few friends. But yeah, it was the FA Cup run that solidified it.
Oh, sorry. What's this?
Right, some big breaking news to bring you regarding the future of Chesham FC today. The club have confirmed that Alex Horn will be their new owner. Horn is in the final stages of a deal to complete a full purchase of Chesham, and he'll outline his vision for the club in a press conference later this week. We'll have much more on this massive story as and when we get it.
Wow.
Whoa. Congratulations.
Thanks,
what a change.
Guys.
What a nice change for you.
I do need to keep telling people I'm not the owner. People presume I'm the owner because of the Wrexham situation. But now I am. I am the owner.
Yes,
yeah, tremendous.
Now you are. How much did it set you back to buy everyone out and become sole owner?
It's buying Roger out. This is the awkward thing. I know Roger, who owns the club. I think he might. I don't know. I don't want to speak for Roger. It might be a financial relief. I know him and Peter. they do have to. Owning a non-league football club means you do put your hand in your pocket quite often. So, yes, I think I've paid a six-figure sum.
Okay.
Okay, nice.
Yeah, that leaves it open, but I think also is you know, it's great. Can we ask how, and we always ask this, how did you afford that? Usually it's when people have spent millions on a club, but in this case,
you could afford it.
Just rearrange.
Yeah,
some
yeah, finances. No, I had it in the bank.
You could just afford it. Yeah.
Okay, cool. To be fair, I'd like to say as well, when the Grimsby Town owners took over the football club and the BBC journalists were like, so how have you afforded it? And they just went, just pay for it cash. And they went, okay, brilliant, all right. Because everyone's usually loaned up to their eyeballs. But again,
it would be a lengthy conversation with my wife. But we're planning to stay in the area. It's a long-term investment and the kids will eventually play for the main team. So, yeah.
So it's money back into your own pocket, effectively.
It will pay for itself.
That's brilliant.
Very, very nice.
So you're now the new owner of Cheshire United. What's happening on day one? What are the first things you're doing?
Day one. Well, I'm going in. I'm getting everyone in. I think I'm getting everyone on the pitch.
Yeah.
Sitting them down in the penalty area.
Yeah.
And this is the men's team, the ladies' team. The members of the board, Ray.
The 42 youth teams?
The 42 youth teams, yes. Ray does the tea and coffee. You would have met Ray, Lloyd.
I did meet Ray, yeah.
So they're all sat cross-legged in the penalty box.
Can I just ask which penalty box is it? Is it the penalty box where you're not that successful?
Or the it's the meadow end.
It's the meadow end, yeah.
The far end. I'm in the penalty box where I've had the accident, and I'm sat cross-legged on the penalty spot. And then... they're running towards me when I blow the whistle, and we're playing British Bulldog.
Great.
That's
great.
Day one.
Morale yep. boosting for the whole day?
That's an hour. And then I say, all right, guys, same again tomorrow. We do that for a month. and I think during that process, we'll work out next steps. But it's a month of that for fitness and team bonding.
It'd be funny if Ray became fitter than the first team players. Like his...
Yes. There is every chance.
Yes, yeah. Ray is 82.
Yeah.
right. That felt like a vital bit of information.
Yeah.
That was omitted. Tell you what,
though, looks a lot younger. Ray looks a lot younger.
Well, he's quite short, but that doesn't mean that he's young. I think if you look at his face, you'll see he's an old guy.
Okay. Well, and if Ray's listening, fair play to you.
Ray, if you are listening, I've guessed 82 there. And that might be... big apology needed. You're very good at making me feel welcome at the club.
At the moment, the managers are James Duncan and Michael Murray. Good lads.
Lovely lads. And I enjoy the double manager situation. It's not often employed. They are equal managers.
Are they?
It's not an assistant situation. We have two managers. And I think what I'm going to do as owner is probably increase that number. I think it's getting a manager for each player.
Okay,
nice.
I think that's what we're doing. I think we're keeping Muzza and James and then, just one each. We'll get some big names.
Yeah.
We'll get Hasselhoff. We'll get Darren Brown. We'll get Hugh Dennis. So that we're going to populate the dugout with high quality managers.
Who do you expect, of those three examples you've just given, who do you expect to be the most successful manager amongst them? I mean, I've got, you're thinking Brown, right?
Brown, yeah, definitely.
I think you've got to have Brown. Yeah, I mean, I would get Brown genuinely in the England starting 11 to mess with their brains. It'd be such a good signing. But Dennis was manager on the day when Lloyd and I played, and he's just a very good footballing brain. So, if you've got the Hoff's a winner. He's a born winner.
Well, yeah, and also you don't want to let him down. He's someone that you would be embarrassed to let down. So just even him knowing he's watching you and his eyes are on you, you'd be thinking, oh,
he's a Klopp figure, isn't he? Yeah. But I'd also, I've got other names. I'm getting clever people. I'm getting Musk. I'm getting Richard Osman, Carlson, Netanyahu, Dent and Chomsky. That's my lineup.
For the managers.
Wow.
For the managers, yes.
I think that's
great. That's quite a heavy budget, I'd say. It's going to cost you a bit.
Are you paying them? Are they big fans of Taskmaster? You don't know.
I'm paying some of them, but it's a reward scheme. I didn't realize I was going to be interrogated. I'm paying them all, and they're, you know, we've got Musk. I think Musk will cover a lot of that.
Here's an idea, though, if you don't want to pay them. All you have to do is tell them that they are on Taskmaster, and the task is you have to manage this player for one season.
Okay, okay.
And then they're going to do it because they think that Greg's going to analyze it, and they're going to get 5 points.
Yes, but you can't come back on the show, so we might lose Dennis and Osman. But that's fine.
Oh, just lie. It's just a lie. Just tell them it's, you know, champion of champions or whatever.
I don't want to start with a lie, Reese.
Okay, all right.
I'm an integrity man. But I'll bet I'll factor this in. I might lose a couple of them with the payment system, but I've picked some rich people. So
they'd be doing it for it'd be a passion project for them.
It's a passion project. It's Netanyahu's passion project.
So we've got an incredibly large dugout with the minimum of
We're going deeper in the dugout. That's how we
Do you know what? I do love a deep dugout. A dugout that is almost at below sea level. Where you're kind of like, you know, portholes, you know, you're
yeah, periscopes.
Lovely.
Periscopes in the dugout.
Because people often say that the angle of the dugout is bad because it's too low. You know, it's better when, like, Glenn Hoddle used to sit in the upper tier for the second half or whatever. But you're going the opposite. You think it's not low enough and they not should actually be looking through periscopes at the game.
Well, I'm interested in an artificial pitch, sort of see-through pitch where we can go right under.
Oh, lovely.
And, yes.
Okay.
Like the Tunnel Club at Manchester City or an aquarium aquarium. Yeah.
Because then you can fill that area, a lot of area for crowd, extra crowd as well. And what a view.
Yeah. Kind of fair enough. Just seeing the studs hit the
clatter on the
glass grass.
Well, I'm also obviously installing a roof because we have a lot of problems in non-league football with the weather. A lot of matches cancel if it rains, so we're having a roof, but it's a mirrored roof, like in a sexy bedroom.
Oh,
so there's a lot going on if you're watching from below the pitch.
But also, incredibly confusing.
But also, if you're a defender, there's a long ball up in the air. You're going for the ball, but actually, you see the mirrored reflection of a ball. I guess at that point, you're going, I don't know what I'm headering here.
Yeah, it's like 3D noughts and crosses.
Yeah.
I guess you're playing on, like, you know, you're a defender, you're looking up at the ball and you get distracted, but also maybe you catch your reflection, you start feeling self-conscious. You think, is there any point to this anyway? I don't look how I thought I looked. And that's where Derren Brown really comes into his own.
He's in. Good. So we're all on board with this. Good.
Yeah, I love this. And are you, as a result, are you making any signings or are you keeping the team as it is exactly now? They've just got individual managers.
Well, it's a tricky situation. No disrespect to any of the current players, but we've lost. You remember Jammers from the game, our captain, Jean-Mal Prosper.
I actually chatted about him yesterday. He had one of the hardest kicks I think I've ever seen. I would give it to him. He would, from the edge of the area, just absolutely belt it to essentially the other goal. And I've seen he's leaving.
He's gone to Slough, which is a tough blow.
He's been there how many years? 6 years?
Let's say 6 years.
Okay.
Now he was our player of the year and also a really lovely man. So, but he's gone. So I am happy to replace everyone else.
Right. Okay.
Jammers goes, everyone goes. Yeah, they're all off to Slough. And I'm getting in. Well, I'm keeping our keeper. Our keeper is Sam Besant, the son of David Besant.
No way.
Yes. And actually, Chesham has a history of fun goalkeepers. Grobbelaar played for us 4 times after retiring. Yeah. So great. I'm sticking with the goalkeeper trend and I'm signing only goalkeepers.
Lovely.
Great.
As outfield players. So we're having Barthez, Oliver Kahn, Buffon, both are Schmeichels, Southall, current Southall, Van der Sar, David Seaman, who shops in Waitrose nearby, Becker, obviously, for the corners, and then Higuita.
Can I just say, I think I actually have your starting lineup here. Just for the listeners, that is just all the goalkeepers, past and present, drawn by no score draws.
I think that is our team sheet. That's
actually your team sheet, just there. That was taken off my wall.
All you need is some photocopies of that for the programme every week.
Yeah. I've done a bit of research for this podcast.
Go on.
How much do you know about him?
René Higuita?
Yeah.
Involved in drugs?
Yes. Well, we're involved in the kidnapping of Carlos Molina's daughter by Pablo Escobar and had to be the go-between to release her and then went to prison because he took $64,000 for his services. Also was in prison... for drugs. So he missed the 94 World Cup, and it was only in 95 he scored that goal. Oh, well, the scorpion kick was after.
Scorpion kick, yeah.
After his prison sentence. He's pretty cool.
Wow.
He's only 56 as well, and for a goalkeeper, David James is 51.
Mm.
I think he's a useful signing.
Yeah, that's it. Where are you going to play him?
Anywhere he wants.
Yeah.
I think, yeah.
CDM, but an attacking CDM.
Okay.
Brilliant at free kicks as well. He would go up for free kicks, as would Chilavert as well.
Yeah, what's your rule then if you've got all keepers? What's your rule in this game with keepers going up for corners? Some of them surely have to.
Same applies. I guess it's sort of rolling keepers anyway. They're all wearing their goalkeeper kits, by the way, so it's all a bit of fun.
Great.
All got gloves. Everyone's up. Everyone's up for every corner. I think everyone might be up all the time. So we have no goalkeeper, but they're all goalkeepers.
Yeah.
So fully rush keeper. So just whoever's there, a bit like you did, whoever's there can just dive and save it. And because the referee was going to have a very difficult time if they're all dressed as goalies, working out who is in goal.
Who's the goalie? Yeah.
You'll never get sent off for a handball.
It's perfect. I'm quite into finding loopholes. That's sort of what Taskmaster's all about, finding loopholes in the rules. And I bet there's some, I bet they haven't written down that you can't have 11 goalkeepers. I bet, you know, there's probably a thing where they don't say you can't use your hands. We're going to have a team of lawyers on the bench as well.
If Daniel Levy is listening to this podcast, which I don't think he does anymore. I think he stopped listening after the Ian Sterling episode. But if he listens to this and then it's like, oh my God, I'm going to implement that. And then the next thing you know, you've just changed the game. Chesham famously playing claret and blue.
Famously, yeah. I think we're the only club who play in claret and blue.
Yeah. Claret and blue. And then also, I think the only club that plays in yellow away as well.
But is the goalie kit presumably isn't that
green?
Well, I hadn't thought this through. It's currently quite a traditional goalkeeper kit.
Can I just interrupt? The goalkeeper kit is only in medium, as I found out last week, as the whole of Chesham could see my anatomy. For 90 minutes. Yeah.
You've got a lovely penis.
Thank you.
Well, there's the clip.
There's the clip. Okay.
But you want to keep the claret and blue branding, presumably, but then they've all got to be in goalie kits.
Yeah, I think we might lose the goalkeeper kits. I think I've instantly changed. I think they've all got goalkeeper gloves on.
Right.
Right.
But I think they're wearing claret and blue, but we're going for business suits. Business suits at home.
Yeah.
Nice.
So we mean business. Not breather, but just Marks and Spencer's, claret and blue, business suits. And away, it's fun time. We're going on holiday. So it's Hawaiian shirts for every away match.
Flip-flops?
Flip-flops as shin pads, I think. And sunglasses. And straw hats.
Flip-flops or shin pads, lovely. And still goalie gloves as well, so you're going to get the tan lines.
I guess you're allowed to wear goalie gloves, are you, outfield?
I've not really read the rules.
You're allowed to wear gloves.
I remember how popular it was to wear gloves when playing football at school as a result of Thierry Henry wearing black Nike gloves. But no, I've never seen anyone go with like a big foam hand.
What are the rules about switching goalkeepers mid-game within the starting 11?
I don't know. I don't know. Because like, if you think back to that game where Stuart Pearce put David James on up front, non-ironically, genuinely thinking that it was a bit of tactical genius, I've always thought, like, did he have to like okay that? Because obviously you're registered with a number. And do you have to say, oh, these are my goalkeepers for this season? Or could you just say, here's 22 players. Oh, by the way, they're all goalkeepers. And you're going,
yeah, what? Well, one of my kids was in a match under 14s last week where the other team got a penalty and they tried to change the keeper from one of the defenders who's much taller was going to go in goal for the penalty.
Wow.
And the ref said you can't do that there and then. But I didn't know if that... We were all like, really? Okay. I mean, it didn't seem like the right thing to do.
No.
But it's weird though, isn't it? That like you could move a left back to right mid and...
And also someone off the bench can go in goal who's not a goalkeeper. Yeah. Well, a defender can go in goal.
Yeah.
And if a goalie gets sent off and you've used all your subs, often you get to see a big striker going in goal.
Mm. Or Rio Ferdinand.
Exactly.
It might be a rule specific to Rio Ferdinand.
I'm not sure if you saw, like, I love as well a goalkeeper being brought on in the 118th minute of extra time, where basically that goalkeeper coming off, everyone's going Liverpool-Chelsea, but also probably more famously Chesterfield-Notts County last week in the non-league playoff. where everyone's just looking at that goalkeeper coming off going, well, you're shit at penalties, mate, aren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, very famously, of course, Chelsea Man City, when he refused to go off.
Kepa would not come off and then had a stinker.
Yeah. One of the most incredible and entertaining moments of football I've ever seen in my life. Yeah, and nothing even happened. It was just admin based. And it's playing with a lot of games.
Yeah, what's your favourite moment of footballing history? Well, actually, just admin based, actually.
It's just this admin based bit of embarrassing moment for Sarri.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you're here as in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
What are you thinking then, sponsor-wise, on the kits? What's the current? Who's the current sponsor across the middle?
There is interesting news. I think it's going to be Taskmaster from next season.
Oh, no way!
We've struck a deal. So,
is this genuine?
Is it an exclusive? Is this an exclusive?
Yeah, it's not signed up, but I've got it. Just says Taskmaster with a little sort of red stamp underneath. So,
we're not changing that. And also, that's in keeping with the color scheme as well.
It is, yeah, it's sort of, you know, the Ed Sheeran route of just having an art product. I mean, it's great. So yeah, we're not changing that.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, it's one of the most exciting things that's ever happened to me. We've got a hoarding at the moment. We've got a Taskmaster advertising hoarding. So there is a picture of me already at the ground. So it's just more and more of them. So eventually...
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've got to wear masks of you.
It's like the National Portrait Gallery, but it's just all Alex Horn.
It's all Horn. Yeah.
It's all Horn. There's the...
And what about the kit? What about the make? Who makes the kits?
Well,
it's
a suit, isn't it?
Oh, it's M&S. It's M&S suits, isn't it?
Oh, it is M&S. I've got a kit here. I'm just going to get it. I've got one here. This is a current kit. So it's made by Caruta currently.
Yeah, Caruta.
Ah, very nice. And Castlemore's the current sponsor across the middle.
Yeah.
It's a very nice kit, actually.
It is lovely. Yeah, Castlemore sponsor it. And on the back, Coyle White Divine Solicitors. Sad day for
nice.
Them.
I love lower league teams having local solicitors. They're always on there. They're always like Wilkin and Chapman in Grimsby, just, you know, above a sleeve or something.
Well, I think you're watching the game and you're thinking, I do need a solicitor. And so you look more closely.
But why aren't more solicitors sponsoring at top level?
Yeah, is it? Why are they sponsoring it? Is it a tax write-off like Taskmaster is, or is it for another reason?
They are just fans who are. It's a way of putting money in without taking money out of your own account, I suppose.
Do you worry, Alex, at all that people next year will be watching, like they're having Taskmaster on the across the shirt? If the game's a bit dull, people are just going to be thinking, I could be watching Taskmaster. Or is this another case of money, well, money back in your own pocket?
Yeah, there's no problem there. No, genuinely, the idea behind it is that more people will buy the shirts, potentially from around the world. We have, you know, lovely people who like the show all over the place. So it's a nice bit of merchandise. Taskmaster won't get the money for, but the club will. So it's sort of, hopefully,
it's genius.
It's great.
Good for everyone.
I think it's great. I mean, Wrexham, perfect example. No one was using TikTok before Wrexham came along. And no one was using Expedia, but now look at that.
Yeah, and Disney. They got loads of people interested in Disney. What's the mascot of... Is there a mascot at Cheshire?
Well, the nickname is the Generals.
The Generals.
And I think they have had someone in a sort of soldier outfit before.
Good God. Okay, President Obonjo.
Yeah.
That's who you're going for.
So we're called Chesham United because two clubs were united during the war because all the men went away. So they had to combine the Chesham Athletic, I think, and Chesham Town, something like that. I can't remember exactly what they were called. So yeah, that's where the Generals come from.
Chesham Town and Chesham Generals are the two teams.
Ah, thank you, Lloyd.
1917. And they joined the Spartan League, which seems apt for the army.
I think we might lose the Generals. Well, we might expand that to just be called the general, sort of the general idea.
Yeah.
It's quite a nice name. to lose the military angle.
The in Generals.
Yeah. And I think I'm getting Blobby in as the mascot.
Oh,
think,
wow.
Wow, yeah. Okay, nice.
I think I'm signing him up.
Are you
allowed, I thought Blobby was in for a shout as a manager. But okay, if you want him as mascot.
He's mascot and physio, I think. Mrs. Blobby might be physio.
I remember seeing a Blobby outfit being available on the internet, but the terms and conditions of buying it were like, you're not allowed to use it for any TV appearances.
Yes.
Is it still under trademark or something? Is that
right? It went on eBay, didn't it, for thousands of pounds. But I think that story ended with the person who bought it changed his mind and didn't want it.
Weird, isn't it?
So I think that's still available. And I think, you know, if they want to take us to court for using Blobby in an FA Cup televised match, then I think we will see you in court.
Yeah.
Okay. And that's because you've got a lot of solicitors
locally
that can help you out with that.
So we'll televise the case.
Oh, imagine getting to court and it's Netanyahu and a load of local solicitors going, I don't think we're winning this. I think the General Hospital have absolutely won this. Sorry, it's not the General Hospital. That's why I said
General. General idea.
General idea.
Fine. Okay. So Blobby's in, and you say Mrs. Blobby is physio.
Yeah.
Now it does present some issues for you there. I'd say you're going to need a lot of physio with the way you're running the club, obviously that. Well, they're running with boots on perspex for a start. There's mirrors above them. So, I mean, there's elements of danger that are in there. I'd say there's going to be some, you know, twisted ankles at least.
Right. Sure.
And then your solution is, without a doubt, the clumsiest fucking idiot in the world.
The wife of the clumsiest effing idiot. She's not that bad. Because her maiden name wasn't Blobby.
Right, so she's not got it in the genes.
No.
What was her maiden name? Do we know?
Mrs. Blobby's maiden name. I think it was Cascarino. I'm not sure.
Ms. Cascarino. MS Cascarino.
I think. Yes, yeah. I think she's one of the Cascarino clan.
So Mrs. Blobby isn't clumsy? Blobby, elegant, refined.
And a great doctor.
And that's why it works, because opposites attract.
Yeah, it's actually Dr. Blobby, but she prefers using Mrs.
Oh, yeah,
okay,
a lot of people do. She's a consultant.
Yeah. Exactly, and a surgeon,
That's great. And did she sort out your finger last week? Was that like a...
Mrs. Blobby did. No, she wasn't. She wasn't available.
She's not in yet. This is in the future, Lloyd. This is in the future.
I just thought that's where you might have met her and gone, do you know what? Do you want a job?
No, never met Blobby. One of the few people, actually, is on my list of people I'm keen to meet. The Blobbies.
It would be great on Taskmaster.
Yes.
If you could get, that's surely got to be, I know you get asked about dream booking all the time. You always get asked, dream booking, and you know, there's some sort of great actor or comedian or something that seems a bit untouchable that you want. But surely the Blobbies. The Blobbies is who you're desperate for on Taskmaster.
Yeah, I'd like to see Greg really rip into Mrs. Blobby.
Mrs. Blobby contesting a two-pointer. You know? That'd be great fun.
Chesham United's current logo is lovely. It's kind of like a bit heraldic, would you say?
It's a chessboard. It's reflecting the River Chess, which runs through the town.
Oh, it's actually?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So it's actually Chesham is the etymology of Chesham. It's the land next to the River Chess.
Wow.
But we're keen. I think Peter, the chairman, we are changing it this season because it's green and nothing else about the kit is green. So he's a bit angry about that. So I think it's going to change colour. But if it's me, it's going to be my face, I think.
Okay, great.
Right, okay.
But very, very, very big.
Very big.
And will it just be like a cutout kind of vibe of your head, or will it be done in badge form in sort of like a crest?
I think they'll be very different on each shirt. I think different facial expressions and different times in my life as well. So from young Horn to future dead Horn.
I think that's very good as well, because I think what a lot of the opposition will like just look at who they're playing and then just look down at the badge and be like, oh, that's quite nice. Like as a kid. Next thing you know, you've just been nutmegged.
Yeah, and I think a lot of small print as well for that reason. Get them reading.
Yeah.
Put some poems on the sleeves, and yeah, and
perfect.
Comic Sans as well, by the way, for the font. I don't know if you've heard of Comic Sans.
Oh, just a bit.
Yeah.
And the font where of the names on the back.
Yeah, yeah. Not many Premier League teams use Comic Sans anymore.
Not brave enough.
Not brave enough. But we are brave enough, and that may be our motto, is we are brave enough.
We are brave enough for Comic Sans. What's the current motto? Is there a current motto?
I don't know.
I don't think there is one. Having done some research, I can't see.
Well, when you search Chesham United motto, it says, the only thing it says is on the website, Chesham United FC, one club, Chesham, full stop, United.
Well, this is new. This is our this is a genuine new thing. We're trying to promote one club to unite the ladies team and the men's team and the youth system.
Got you.
So I guess I should really say we'll stick with that for another year, and then it's we are brave enough for Comic Sans.
It could be one club brave enough for Comic Sans.
Yeah,
you combine both. One club, one font.
Yes, yes. On the one club note, I should say I've signed all these goalkeepers, but I think I'm also promoting the youth system. The youth system are coming in as well. At the moment, the dream is you play for Chesham United and then you get signed by Liverpool. Whereas I want the dream to be you play for Chesham United all the way and you never leave Chesham United. So, yeah, we need to encourage it. And that's a genuine thing we're trying to do more this season, thinking that you could end up in the men's team rather than, oh, no, you might end up in the men's team.
That's
Oh, I've ended up playing for Chesham United. I thought it was a stepping stone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where did Jammers go?
Slough.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Well, you could that could be your motto. You could end up at Slough. Stay here or you could end up living in Slough.
When we ask people about their new ownership of the football club, we ask if they've got any rules imposed. Some of them is a bit of a stretch and they don't really know what we're talking about. You know, the most common one, only black boots, short back and sides and stuff. You're obviously, you know, the king of rules. What are you implementing for the players or anyone, I guess, at Chesham United?
I think I've only got one, and I think it's that at all times you have to pretend the ball is really, really hot.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Yeah.
So, but really hot. So every time you touch it, you've got to, ow. There's a lot of, ow. And then a lot of constantly saying, God, the ball is really hot.
Yeah.
And this is forever. This is the only rule, but it's forever.
Hence the gloves. Hence the fact they're all wearing goalie gloves.
Yeah.
Goalie slash oven gloves.
So it's not a lot of... Yeah. But I think one rule, you know, one rule is sometimes enough. And that's in training as well. So every word that's uttered has to be about how hot the ball is during the
game. That's not... You know what? It's not probably not a million miles away from the sort of tactic that a Pep Guardiola says, which is all about releasing the ball quickly, pass and move. Yes. If the ball was on fire, you'd be passing it and moving immediately.
Remember how hot the ball is. They don't want... Yeah. Keep it moving. Don't touch the ball. It's really hot. Don't header it, probably.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Yeah.
That's headers out the window. But you don't score from any corners anyway, so...
I got told, though, at school, we had a teacher called Mr. Lambert. I don't think either of you know him. But he used to have this thing saying the football's a hot potato. He always used to say the football's a hot potato. Get rid of it as quick as possible.
Yeah.
Mm.
So, you know, not a million miles away from Mr. Lambert's. He was on the youth setup at Sheffield United. So he knows what he's on about.
Mm.
Speaking of hot potatoes, actually, what's the catering like at Chesham at the moment? Obviously, you got Ray with his cups of tea.
We got Ray with cups of tea. And the latter part of this season, Peter Brown, the chairman, who is such a great man, he took over the catering genuinely because of an issue with the previous caterer and was doing... It tends to be chips and burgers and chicken nuggets for the players after the game, which was very popular. But I think it's an all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet
from the moment
you arrive. It's just a constant buffet. And probably those ones... Is it chopsticks with an X on the...
Yes.
I think we'll get those guys in. But yeah, I really enjoy Chinese food.
And is it just going to be literally the buffet is just like in one of the stands and you just get a plate on arrival and you can just go up?
Yeah, there might be a way you can have it all the way around the top, right? You know, just a constant...
completely surrounds the whole... So no one has to really walk very far.
Have you ever been to Yo Sushi? I know that this is Japanese food, but they have a conveyor belt in Yo Sushi. I'm thinking...
I'm interested.
Why not have the conveyor belt, but with Chinese food on there? People don't need to move.
Yeah, I think the two cultures would probably be fine with us doing this.
Famously.
Yeah. So, yeah, let's do that. I mean, maybe it's not the top row. Maybe it's the bottom row. Or maybe we don't have a football. Maybe we just open a restaurant.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And the plates are hot.
The plates are so hot.
They're not so the football, hot. Would you have a mirrored ceiling in a restaurant, do you think?
I'm all over mirrored ceilings in any situation, I think. I can't imagine a situation where you wouldn't want one. No, I can't. So, yes, no. Please.
Okay, fine. Fair enough. Well, as you know, Alex, I don't know that you do know this, actually, but you've done the fit and proper test. So you'll know from having done the fit and proper test in the past that a supercomputer analyzes the data and decides whether you're a fit and proper person to do it.
Of course.
Obviously, you know that supercomputer also throws up some random hypothetical scenarios to see how you would deal with those situations.
I remember this. It's very stressful.
Were you to take on this role? Yeah, horrible stuff. Well, it has thrown one up today, which Lloyd will talk you through right now.
Cheshire United are flying high in the National League and are just about to get promoted into the Football League when on the night before the last game of the season, your groundsman comes to you in tears, confessing that the reason why you've done so well this season is because he's been altering the height of the goalposts during the course of the games to give Cheshire United an unfair advantage. He goes on to tell you, well, I think we know the answer. He goes on to tell you that he installed some very obscure machinery in the holes of the goalposts that increases and decreases the height of the goalposts at halftime at such a slow rate it's not visible to the human eye. Higher for when they're shooting against, smaller for when they're defending. When you quiz him as to why he's done this, he says that he was inspired by an episode of Taskmaster where the task was move the goalposts without anybody realising. Incidentally, he says here, Lloyd Griffith won the task. Remember, obviously, this is all in the future. Do you sack the groundsman and come clean, possibly surrendering your promotion to the Football League and all the millions that come with it? Or do you ask him to remove the tiny machinery, dump it in the River Chess and never talk of it again?
Well, those are the only two options.
Well, no, you can present anything you like.
Anything you like, but we just kind of tee you up because sometimes people don't really like questions.
I think I'm dragging him into the boardroom and working out if we can do that with the whole pitch. I mean, if they're going up and down, if the goalpost is going up and down, can the pitch not shrink and retract?
Yeah, good point.
I don't know if that's an advantage, but I wouldn't mind. I mean, how small is it getting by the end of the...
1.5 centimetres.
Right, and no one's noticed.
No one's noticed because, as I say, it's going up at such a, like, it's a millimetre a second.
Yeah, no, watching hair grow.
Exactly, yeah. So people won't go, oh, crikey, is that goal?
You wouldn't even really notice the end result, as in they're not getting to like five-a-side size.
No, but it's so small and the increments are so minute that actually it pays off. I'm not sure if you read the book Atomic Habits, but basically tiny little...
But it's about the size of that it reduces by. Yeah, is that what you're saying?
The book, 1.5.
Yeah, but if this guy has got this technology, I mean, I wouldn't mind the studs in the boots getting bigger. I wouldn't mind these goalie gloves getting bigger.
Yeah.
And also around the house, you know, this guy's got ideas.
It'd be quite a handy way to build an extension if you're not even going to notice it happening.
Yes, it would. I think I'm embracing the guy physically and mentally. And I think he will end up buying the club from me.
Yeah.
Elon Musk will pull him to one side like, I need to have a little word with you.
Yeah.
I need to have a little word with you. Well, this is all good. This has all gone into the supercomputer. Obviously, we've got to just input the final few little bits and the supercomputer will decide as to whether you are, in fact, a fit and proper person for this. I'm assuming for the first time round, you were fit and proper?
Yes. Yeah, unfortunately so.
Okay.
That was amazing.
Yeah, it's a supercomputer. It's super.
You'd think it'd be quieter than that, but you can hear it whirring away, can't you?
Yeah, it's a bit old school, actually. They've made them quiet, haven't they, computers? But the super ones, they've brought the noises back.
But it's like people being run over by a Prius because they don't hear them. So the supercomputer's like, I don't like not being heard. So actually, that it's just a sound effect that it uses.
Oh, I see.
Because it wants people to know that it's working away. If you're not making a noise, are you working? As Mr. Lambert. So, fit and proper.
Oh,
yeah.
Of course you are. You've already passed it once. So why wouldn't you pass it again?
Wow, that ball is so hot.
That ball is so hot.
Supercomputer is a massive fan of British Bulldog for morale building. So you're off to a flyer. The idea that you've mirrored the whole thing and you can see through underneath, it like to sort of double football, you know,
twice
the value.
Because I didn't mention that actually, underneath where the fans are watching underneath, there's also a mirror down there as well.
There's a mirror down there as well.
I don't know what that means, though.
Oh, it means you're not fitting proper, actually.
Ah, yeah, that is. Cancel the second mirror.
Yeah, yeah, it means you're not fitting proper. So we'll ignore that. It's, you know, it's already been decided. Also, big thumbs up here. It says Chinese Japanese relations. Big thumbs up. So
yeah, at last,
we'll sell a lot of shirts in the Asia continent.
Yeah, absolutely.
So it also commended you on your eloquence.
Yeah. You call it the Asia continent, don't you?
Yeah. I think everyone does. Yeah, it's the general idea.
Thank you so much,
Alex. Yeah. We look forward to coming to the single mirrored Chesham United.
Pleasure. If I had one ambition, by the way, genuinely, it's for one game between Chesham and Liverpool in the future. So if this is a step towards that, I'm a happy man.
Well, I think
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, you look at Wrexham. Wrexham now, all the pre-season games are insane. They've got Chelsea. They're playing Chelsea in America pre-season.
Are they going to be hammered everywhere they go?
What, pissed or?
Well, either, I suppose. Aren't they going to be both, fresh? Yeah. I mean, they're still not very good, are they?
Yes, they're going to get. It's going to be ours. And I think they might. I think the other teams might put out a youth side and not necessarily trialists, but.
Right.
You know.
Oh yeah, pre-season they'll be ridiculous.
They might put out their T person. I should say that.
Would you accept that against Liverpool? Would you accept playing against a sort of kind of reserves?
It will be tinged. I want to play the main guys. I would love a game against Wrexham. I don't want to say that Wrexham are rubbish. All I meant is that surely there's a gulf. But anyway.
Oh, huge gulf. Like, yeah, and I think they realise that, and it is all just, you know, promotions, and you know, we wish them well.
We do. We had Humphrey at our match, didn't we? And I was quite starstruck by
He is the he's the other person who's done this podcast and done the fit and proper person test for real.
Yeah. No, he's a lovely man. So good luck to Wrexham. And they are setting an example. But they can be more ambitious with their rule changes, surely.
Agreed. I preferred your direction with it.
I just don't think Wrexham's ball's hot enough.
Yeah. They never mention the heat of the ball.
Alex, thank you very much. We're looking forward to getting some Chinese food down at Chesham soon.
I can't wait to welcome you there, Lloyd. And you, Rhys. We will have a fortune cookie and a lot of fun.
See you there. Exceptional stuff, as expected, from Mr. Horn there. What you'd expect from someone who writes tasks, you know?
And also Taskmaster.
He does tasks in his own time. Yeah. But he also writes Taskmaster.
On Channel 4. But also, when we created this show format, which is a great show format, and again, if you're a famous person listening to this and want to be on the show, give us a shout. But Alex Horn, I'd say, is your archetypal guest. He's your perfect guest, isn't he?
Yeah. Gonna think about it. He's gonna do the homework, but he's also gonna be able to come up with absolute dream stuff in the moment because he's got that kind of brain, that kind of inventive, you know, finding the angles.
Also, Alex Horn just is brilliant comedian, the Horn section, he's got his sitcom out there. Just ingest everything he's got. I'm sure you already do.
But yeah, one of the absolute greats. I mean, no one who's listening to this hasn't heard of Taskmaster.
Yeah.
There's no point sort of plugging that.
But hey, there's a show called Taskmaster that you should absolutely watch. Oh, thanks, Lloyd and Rhys.
Yeah. We're big fans of comedy football podcasts, Fit and Proper, but we've literally never turned our TVs on once.
So get involved with Taskmaster. I think it's going to be big.
Go and watch Chesham United. I'm going to be going. I'll be buying the Taskmaster kit, of course.
And also, speaking of kits, as we said, if you are a lower league football team, either kids or not kids, maybe not kids actually, or who knows?
Yeah, obviously. But just give us a shout, and we would give us a shout anyway. Let's just see. We'll be a shirt sponsor for a year.
One season. The season's starting soon, isn't it? So get involved. Messages however you want. If you've enjoyed this podcast, which I mean, it's Alex Horn, of course you bloody well have. Give us a lovely little review. It helps us get found by other people, hopefully abroad.
Yes. See ya.
Bye-bye.